So the Pure Land School student taking refuge in Buddha Dhamma Sangha, let me repeat that. The Buddha, your main deity, is Amitabha. The Dhamma is the Infinite Life Sutra. And the Sangha is follow example of Guanyin, Avalokiteshvara, and the great spiritual power Bodhisattva, which is called in Vajrayana the Vajrapani Bodhisattva Mahasattva. That's your Sangha. However, there's definitely a need of so-called reciting triple gems, which is Buddha statue and sutra books and Sangha monks or nuns. Because of the Buddha statue and the monk and nun and the sutra books can remind us of the self triple gems from within. So that's also very important. It has its special function as a reminder. Therefore, when we do the chanting of a sutra, we are not chanting to the Buddha, because Buddha teaches us the sutra. We don't need to teach him by chanting. We are chanting into our own heart and make that and cultivate ourselves so that our thinking in daily life will be in proper accordance with what described in the sutra. And for when seeing a monk or nun, no matter they are pure or not pure, no matter they follow precepts or not precepts, it's a good blessing, because without hair, that image reminds us, I need to return from contamination around and back to purity. That is a very good reminding when we see the home living monks or nuns. So in Buddha Dhamma, the cultivation is realization, proper viewpoint, and purity. And the destination is to obtain the great perfection of the self nature. And all Dhamma gates and Dhamma methods, no matter how different, no matter how many types, they are not away from the three major gates. The Buddha gate, the Dhamma gate, and the Sangha gates. And no matter, as a person who practices Pure Land, I know I come from the door of purity, and therefore we should not criticize Vajrayana Buddhism or Zen Buddhism, because they too come from a different gate into the same place. It's just like coming to this temple for tonight's lecture. Some people come by driving, some people come here through walking. Since they get here eventually, we should not despise them for not taking the bus or something. In Huntsville, Alabama, in my lecture, a person asked me, Buddha Dhamma is so rich in theory and everything, I don't know how to start it. It's so complicated. And it happened to be a boy next to me. I lift the boy and point to him. Looking from different locations of the sphere, they are different. But no matter where you start, if you start to the center of the sphere, it is the final and the same destination. Don't go around wasting your energy. Starting what you think the best and looking toward the right direction, which in this case, the center of the sphere or the ball, you will be there eventually, and there's no difference. The key or the secret is be dedicated and single-minded in whatever approach you take. And eventually you will obtain samadhi, and eventually you obtain wisdom and liberation. I also like to point out in related to taking refuge to the Sangha. If you take refuge to the Sangha, or one teacher, one great master, and only that person, that can causing a future possible cause of being born into the hell. I'm not frightening you with the statement. Because Sangha is complete one purity of in the universe. If you only pay a special respect to one teacher, and then discriminating mind eventually brings different treatment to other teacher, and you eventually and intentionally breaking the Sangha groups. And according to the sutra, five serious sins are about to be born into the hell, which is kill your father, kill your mother, kill Buddha or let the Buddha blood come out and kill Arahant, the saint, and break or disintegrate the Sangha group and organization. So if you follow one and only that one, you are potentially creating the scene of which eventually leading into the hell. And then it's very sad and shameful. Without taking refuge, you won't even create such a heavy scene. By taking the refuge without proper understanding, we end up into the hell eventually. That's very sad. Therefore, you don't have to take refuge from every monk each time. You take refuge from one which represents all the Sangha, and that's it. And therefore, today I have already transmitted to you through the lecture the true meaning of taking refuge. We don't need any ceremony, and please give me a release, not asking for Dhamma name. So if you understand the true meaning, you are true disciple of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. There's no need for ceremony or Dhamma name. Thank you. We only cover the second virtue among three virtues, which has the second virtue or second requirement contains three items. We only cover the first item of the second virtue. And the time has already almost 9:30, so we have to stop now. But this is very important. The second virtue or second requirement talk about taking refuge to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. The Observing Infinite Life Sutra discusses about three types of virtues or three requirements in cultivation. The second virtue is to receive and to maintain the refuge and to obtain and preserve all precepts and not violating any one of them in daily behavior. So not just receive taking the ceremony, but also maintain at any time, at any place, the essence of the Triple Gems, which is enlightenment, proper viewpoint, and purity of the mind. These three things are the standard of cultivation. And to approach to the standard, the methods are numerous. We also know there are many schools and many methods. They are pretty much categorized into three aspects. As long as you can actually enter through one main gate, one of the three main gates, the final result is the same. For Pure Land students who practice Buddha name chanting, it is to enter the ultimate self nature through the door of purity, because the Pure Land school students is seeking for, or at least the goal is to be able to reach a single state without confusion or scattering. And that is an evidence that the Pure Land School student practice and enter into the self nature through the gate of purity. The second item of The second item of the second virtue talks about possess numerous precepts. And the last item of the second virtue talks about be able to maintain a proper behavior and manners. Be able to possess all numerous types of precepts. The precepts are many, have many types, many kinds. But the most important or the essence are the fundamental five precepts. The next one or the third item of the second virtue talks about not violating the proper manners in behavior. And for that one, we take a look of the Bichu 250 precepts. It contains the first four most serious and ultimately important precepts, plus 13 important precepts, and the rest precepts deal with proper manners, rules and regulations about behavior. So to practice Buddha Dharma, take refuge and understand its meaning, observe or follow the precepts, particularly the fundamental ones, are most important. My teacher used to explain to me, like traveling from northern part of Taiwan, capital city called Taipei, to the center of Taiwan, city called Taichung, we take railroad train. You must keep your ticket from the beginning stop to the last destination. In our spiritual development, similar to this situation, we must not forget the three refuge and five fundamental precepts. The five basic precepts, which are no killing, no stealing, no committing sexual misconduct, no lying, number four, and the last one, no drinking of intoxicants things to lose sober mind. This first four, no killing, no stealing, and no lying, no committing sexual misconduct, are universal. Whether you take this precept or not, if you break them, you just naturally have the natural sin. You create a sin automatically. The last one, not taking intoxicants such as liquid. When you violate this one, only when you take this precept, and then you drink wine or liquor, then you violate this one. But if you don't take that one, drinking liquors, you don't create a sin, because it is precautionary. It is not a fundamental violation of the universal law of karma. So we need to understand the meaning of the precepts and the purpose of all the fundamental precepts. And there are reasons behind this. What time you can follow the precepts without violation? What time you can do things opposite to the precept tells you and still follow the spirit, the meaning of the precept, without violation? So we need to study the precepts, its purpose, and its true meaning or spirit behind it. Without this proper understanding, a lot of people may feel Buddhism, their philosophy and sutra are beautiful, but precepts seems too much. It's too troublesome. I think I just want to be exposed to the sutra and not the precepts observation. This is because of improper understanding. Because the precepts is Buddha's behavior and manners. It is just like Li, or the proper manners of Confucianism, of Confucius. Without the precept, there will be no Buddha. Without the proper manner, there will be no Confucianism. Buddha's teachings are so vivid, so lively, and so flexible. And the purpose is to benefit the sentient beings. It's not creating a bondage to give sentient beings inconveniences. So we must first understand the motivation of Buddha in helping all sentient beings. There are many teachers Nowadays, who can teach sutras, Buddha's teachings? But there are almost none who provide teachings on precepts. Because when discuss precepts, item by item, and the consequence of violating each individual precept, oftentimes end up in hell. Then people become scared and they do not like to hear this. And perhaps because there will be no audience, so there are no teacher willing to spend time and teach precepts. But we know the motivation of a Buddha is to benefit sentient beings. We know precept is essential and most important to Buddha Dharma. So we need to see why the precept is necessary and why precepts really do not create bondage or inconveniences to your daily life. I'd like to share with you a personal experience about precept observation. When my teacher, when he was alive, most venerable Mr. Li Bing Nan, he lived in Taichung, Taiwan, the center part of Taiwan Island. He followed the precepts very rigorously, only one meal a day before noontime. No breakfast, no supper. I follow the similar precept, but I do take breakfast and lunch before noon, no supper. But one day, disciple invited him, my teacher, Mr. Li, the most venerable one, for supper. He invited me to go along with him. I feel very uncomfortable because I follow the precept of no eating supper. Now my teacher wants me to go along with him. The teacher then told me, the attitude you are taking of not joining other people's happiness by accepting their offering is the attitude of Theravada Buddhist. To be a Mahayana Buddhist or Bodhisattva, you need to make sentient beings happy. Therefore, from that point of view or for that reason, you accept their food offering and you take supper, which is not violating of the precept, but to create a happiness of of the person who would like to offer you. On the other hand, if you do follow your precepts, then you have created an image or impression that the Buddhists are unreasonable. They're hard to deal with. And once you become a Buddhist, sincerely, you take precepts, then your life totally different than average people. Then they perhaps going to say bad words behind you, and they definitely do not want to become a Buddhist. Therefore, come with me to accept the food offering. Therefore, we know the precepts are very flexible. Follow the spirits. Sometimes you eat supper. When there's no situation that you need to eat supper, then follow the original precept literally. However, if you do like to enjoy supper and you pass the word around and suggest your friends, disciple, please invite me for supper, then you are violating the precept because you create opportunity for yourself to eat supper. So if people do not know you follow this precept, they invite you and you come. And then they realize you almost break the precept for the sake of making them happy. They will be very touched. And they think Buddhists are very flexible, very compassionate. So we need to know the meaning of the precepts. And when is truly violating the precept, when it is not a violation. During the war between, during the invasion of Japanese against China in about the 1940s, there are three persons escaped from Japanese persecution. They were saved by an old monk. When the war was over, these three persons are grateful to the monk who saved their lives. So they invite the monk for a banquet and they have prepared the best food. Chicken, thief and all kinds. And then the monk came. Then they realized the monk are monks are vegetarians, but we already prepared the banquet of all kinds of chickens and meat. Surprisingly, the monk just ate all things that was prepared for him without any complaint. This makes these three persons very touched. On the other hand, if the monk came and shows an ugly face or something, then these three persons are not going to have any good impression about the Buddha Dharma. So Buddhism is very flexible. There is a common statement saying, compassion is the essence. Experience or skillful means are just the gates in order to accommodate people or welcome people. Buddhist, and also in Sutra, there's another statement said, Bodhisattvas are those who want to make all sentient beings happy. And this is the spirit of practicing Bodhisattva methods, which may look drastically different from the Theravada Buddhism's precepts and practices. To seriously observe precepts actually covers one should obey the law made by the country and made by all nations, if you went to all nations, and all even need to satisfy local standard about morals. If you came to China, if you come to China, then you need to observe the local law of China. If you visit the United States, you need to follow the law of the United States. So the precepts means regulations in daily life. In today's world, traffic and transportation are so convenient. So we need to do in room as the Romans do. And then you can be considered truly practice the observation, truly observe the precepts. The original precepts are made by Buddha in ancient India. Today, if you follow the words of the precepts, it may not be suitable. For example, for the monk's precepts, there are about over 10 items dealing with how to dress the robe. But the clothes of ancient people, particularly of India, is different from today and the Chinese people. Then if you just follow the precept to the word, then it becomes inconvenient or sometimes improper. However, we need to know the reason and the spirit behind each and individual precept. What is the spirit and the reason behind the precept? It can be boiled down to two statements. To avoid all evils and to observe and practice all good deeds. To avoid all evils is the self-regulation of Theravada Buddhism, that we should always follow, no matter that we are with other people or alone by ourselves, we always follow that. But when dealing with sentient beings, then we need to do all good deeds, which is the spirit of the basic reasoning for Mahayana Buddhism. Now, what is good, what is evil? That pretty much decided by the precepts. Those in agreement with the spirit of the precept is good. Those violate the spirit of the precept is evil or violation. And due to the differences of Chinese people's mentality versus Indian mentality, the culture and tradition also different. Therefore, there is a Zen master called Baizang. He has set up, or you may say, modified the precepts and made new rules and regulations, and yet still follow the spirit of the precepts. Follow the principle, but may change the item, which may be different than the original precepts. So, the true Buddha Dharma, and particularly the essence of Buddha Dharma, the precepts, need to be modernized, need to be localized, and not lose the universal spirit that was originally made by Buddha. To follow the precepts and follow the rules and regulations, therefore the mind will be in peace and do not have guilty feeling. On the other hand, if we violate the precepts and do not follow rules and regulations, even though you may be able to escape from punishment, but your mind will not be at peace. When mind is not at peace, then one cannot practice meditation, and therefore one cannot enter into samadhi. That's why we always say the practice procedures are observing the precepts, enter into samadhi, and generate wisdom or prajna. The second virtue we mentioned deals with the practicing content of the Mahayana or Theravada Buddhism. And then we're going to talk about the third virtue, the content of the third virtue, associated with the Mahayana Buddhist practice. And the Mahayana Buddhism has to be established upon or based upon the Theravada Buddhism's content. And the first statement in the third virtue stated, one need to arouse or generate bodhicitta mind. We always heard people say, please generate the bodhicitta mind and do this and do that. But not many people truly understand what is a bodhicitta mind. Bodhi means real and fully realize. That is the Buddha mind. Realize what? Realize for human beings there are 8 types of sufferings. If I'm going to discuss the details, we are not going to have time. It takes more than 2 hours. So we can basically say the 3 types of sufferings are all possessed, contained in the human realm, which is suffering. Second one is deteriorating suffering, the suffering due to deterioration. The third one is suffering due to non-stop or constant change. So it can boil down to 3 types of suffering. For the realm of form, which is in heavenly level, very high, they do not have suffering. They do, however, still have suffering of deterioration and suffering of constant changes. They do not have suffering is because they are in a highly spiritual level. So they have already overcome the 5 types of desire, which is fame, food, wealth, sex, fame, food, and sleep. And therefore, they do not have the major suffering, but they still have 2 other types of suffering, which is the deteriorating suffering and constant changing suffering. Then comes to the highest heavenly being in the form, in the realm of formlessness. In this realm, these sentient beings appear in the form of conscious mind, no body. Without the body, there'd be no deterioration. Therefore, the suffering is gone, and the deterioration suffering is disappeared, also gone. But they still have constant changing suffering, which means they want to have enjoyed peace, but that peace cannot be forever. It still eventually changed out.